Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things to My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. As a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, let's just say that I've been around money a lot. But today I want to talk about money matters and how money actually matters. So let me ask you this. Do you want to be rich? That's a serious question. Do you want to be rich? And not rich in the sense of rich in spirit or rich in mental health or any of that stuff. Literally rich with a lot of money. Do you want to be rich? And if you're listening to this podcast, you do. Or at least you want to take the steps toward accumulating money. Now, I want you to ask yourself, what is a lot of money to you? I want you to put a number on it. Say it out loud. I want you to really hold this deep in your heart. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how did you determine if that is really a lot of money? And what you will realize when you really, really think about it, when you put a number on how much you want to accumulate or what you believe to be a lot of money, we tend to attach our self-worth to those we feel most connected to. And what I mean by our self-worth, meaning that if I make $50,000 and my next door neighbor makes $55,000, we say we make less than our neighbors and maybe I'm not as good as him. But we don't say anything about Elon Musk, who makes hundreds of thousands of times more than what we make, right? Because he's not our neighbor. So what I want to show you with this little exercise is that the idea of being rich or even feeling rich is subjective. So if you came from a low income family, $1 or $2 million may seem like a lot of money to you. You start thinking about all the things you can buy and all the things that you would do. Now, if you came from a family of maybe entrepreneurs, $1 or $2 million may just be the loan that that family took out just to start their business. And for them, the idea of being wealthy is having $10 or $12 million. And I'm going to take it a step further. If you're the child of maybe Bill Gates or Elon Musk, you really don't even know what money is. You ask for something and you get it. Maybe your dad owns a basketball team, so you're not standing in line at Foot Locker to pay for the new LeBron James or the new Kyrie Irvings. What you're doing is talking to Kyrie. You're talking to LeBron and say, hey, could I have some of your shoes? And you as a person, your connections, which is your dad or your other family members, is more valuable than the cost of those shoes. So my point is that no matter how much money you have or what you buy, there's always three levels of wealth. And I want you to remember this because this is going to be very important. So let me give you an example. You buy a Rolls Royce drop tail. Now, once again, we have three levels. So the first level, people may not know what that car is. You may not know what that car is. You may not know what that model is. So you have to explain the car. You have to explain its features. You have to explain what makes it special. Maybe even tell people the price so they know it's a big deal. I mean, these cars can go for $20, $25 million. Now, the second level is everyone has one and no one's impressed. See, all of your neighbors has a Rolls Royce drop tail. When you go to events, there are two or three in the parking lot and no one tells you you have a nice car because everyone has a nice car. And if you want a better idea of what this level looks like, think about a car show. When you go to a car show, everyone has a nice car. I mean, in the thousands, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars at that level. Now, the third level is they think your dealership car is cheap because they have custom cars. They may not even have to drive it themselves because they have a chauffeur. And I'm not talking about an Uber or a Lyft driver. See, they laugh when you talk about the price because they are not impressed. They may have a personal relationship with the Rolls Royce dealer. They may get their car, once again, custom made. They may have their names on the engine or things of that nature. Or they're exchanging business saying, listen, I'll give you 20% equity of my company in exchange for vehicles on demand, or whatever it may be, but it's another level. So now you see that there's really only one out of three levels where anyone even cares about what you're doing. And what we do as human beings, we seek that one level. So we are going to try to find the people who really don't know what we're doing, but maybe they can appreciate it on some level if we can convince them that what we have is valuable. See, you don't need to convince your neighbor that your nice car is valuable because they have one. They understand the value. And there's no use of trying to convince someone on a higher level than yours that your car actually has value because they don't see any value in it. Okay? So this is where we see people driving their cars to their old neighborhoods. They have conversations about trips they go on simply to brag. So now we know where people go to brag. Level one. So how do you protect yourself from being jealous or envious of people who come down from different levels trying to show off? So the first thing I like to talk about is understand that this is how they choose to tell their story. Now, how they accumulate their wealth, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this symbol, this wealth symbol, this car, this house, the jewelry, the clothes, or whatever it may be, this is how they are choosing to tell their story. This is like their living trophy. And two, learn to hate what God hates. So when I was a kid, we got trophies for winning. And I'm not talking about for just participating. And it meant something. You know, one of my favorite jokes is by Dimitri Martin. He said, I used to play sports as a kid and I wasn't very good, so I didn't get many trophies. Then when I got older, I realized you can buy trophies. Now I'm good at everything. But this kind of relates to exactly what I'm talking about. When I go back home, yeah, my mom has all my trophies when I'm a little kid and I'm showing my kids like, hey, this is my all-star game. This is the baseball. This is the home run that I hit and everything else like that. This is when I played football and this is when I ran track and all these different trophies that represent moments of time. These are stories that I can bring up to my children and say, these are the trophies that represent those winning moments in my life. So what makes trophies great is that they embody and capture a moment. There's a story of trial and overcoming adversity, and the trophy symbolizes that victory. As an adult, I'm starting to see all these awards, the Grammys, Academy Awards, or whatever, and that's good for them. It means something to them, but it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not an actor. I'm not a singer. I don't care who won Best Actress or who won Best Supporting Actress. That has nothing to do with me. And more importantly, it only really matters to that organization or that league in that country or in that state. I mean, just because you're a celebrity here in America doesn't mean you can go to the Philippines and be a celebrity there. People may not even know who you are. I mean, you think Cristiano Ronaldo, the world's greatest soccer player, you know, him and Lionel Messi, you think they worry about who's the NBA Finals MVP? No. You know, they are level three. You know, they play all over the world and they are more famous than LeBron James. You know, there are cricket players, and I don't know if you know what cricket is, but there's cricket players that have more followers than LeBron James as well. So we have to stop celebrating bad stories. And then what I mean by that is that we should care how people made their money. What that thing represents, we need to ask questions. You know, we all dance to songs written, produced, or recorded by Puff Daddy or P. Diddy. We saw the parties and pictures with Jay-Z and all these other celebrities that went out there, right? But we never questioned how he made his money. And now it's coming to light. So that's why I've learned to hold my congratulations until I know how you made your money, because that matters. You can't just show me your car. You can't just show me your house. You can't just show me the trips and the pictures that you go on. I don't really care. I want to know who you are, because I've been fooled too many times in my life. I've seen these celebrities. I've seen people that I grew up with, and I've seen people that I've worked with who I thought were doing the right things because they had the money, and I thought they were working hard or doing the right things, and they just weren't. Think about it. Are you going to give the same acknowledgement to someone who made millions of dollars the right way, or someone who stole millions from families and destroyed legacies? Think of FTX. Think of Sam Bankman-Fried. Think of Bernie Madoff. But also think, they have the money, but the symbols that they had represented horrible stories. So if anyone who tries to shame you for not having money, you should hate that act. Not the person, but what they do. It says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 7, do not hate a fellow Israelite, and some translations have changed that word to brother, in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in their guilt. When we celebrate ignorance, we are at fault too. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So go ahead and hate the actions of people who think that money makes them, because it doesn't. Being rich is subjective. It is insatiable because it starts to feel like level 2 after a while. And that's where we end up. No matter how much money that you make, millions and millions of dollars, we always get back to level 2 where we're surrounded by people who have exactly what we have and they don't care. So I think Jim Carrey has said, I wish everyone could become rich and famous so they can realize it's not everything. And I think that he's hit that level 2 because he's been around multimillionaires and he realizes it's just the same as if I had thousands of dollars. So we don't want to idolize money, but what we want to do is improve our character, improve who we are, and bring value beyond money. Money is just a supplement. It's to make sure that we have resources to do the things that make us who we are. If you're a nice person, you can use that money to donate. You can use that money to travel and affect more people. But remember, poverty is not piety. If you don't have any money to put gas in your car, how are you going to fellowship with more people? How are you going to do it? You know, you're limited in what you can do. And this is the purpose of this whole podcast today. I want you to get this in your head about money today. Do not be confused about what people have. You know, a lot of people, I heard this on, I think it was Club Shay Shay, Lavelle Crawford said this, is that you don't know what type of pain that person went through to get that pleasure. And that is a really true statement. So even now, you may be listening to this podcast and go, oh, it must be great to be A.B. Ridgeway. You know, he gets to enjoy the podcast and he's a private wealth advisor. He gets to talk to multimillionaires. It just must be a great time. But as you've seen on my live, sometimes I'm up at 11 p.m. at night. Sometimes I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'm editing for 1 or 2 hours, 3 hours, trying to make this work. And are you willing to go through 11 years of dealing with the death of spouses, the death of children, the death of parents, divorces, marriages, you know, DUIs, all these things, when you're dealing with the general public, you have to get through. And emotionally, it could tear you down. At my prior job, I had over 300 clients. That's 300 stories. That's 300 different types of people where I had to internalize and help them through their difficult situations, even if that meant studying more, learning more about psychology, how to cope with grief, how to engage with people who are recently divorced, privacy policies, continuing education. It's a lot. But the pleasure is I get to share the word of God. I can create a podcast where I can share these lessons with you and you can take them and change the world for the better. And that's why I do it. So I really appreciate you listening to me today. This was a kind of off the cuff venting session. So thank you for bearing with me. But the point of this whole thing was to help us shape our minds around money and not to be jealous and not to be envious of what people have, because once again, we don't know what pain they went through to have that pleasure. And I'm going to give you one more example. People who receive inheritance, I hear this all the time, is that if I can give back that $2 million to have them back for one more day, I would. So that tells you a lot about how insignificant money is. You know, some of these people have the money, they have the symbols, they have the cars, they have the clothes, they have the money. But that story, what they have to go through, the grief they have to go through in order to have that money, some people can't take it. And that's a true story. Well, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on today. We would love to have you a part of the family. If you learned something and you're looking for a certified private wealth advisor to guide you through retirement and get you through some of life's most difficult financial challenges, there will be a link in the podcast description. Click the link, book a free call, and get started on your journey to getting closer to God. Well, that is it for me. My name is A.B. Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.